I remember an incident, in fact a series of incidents from my own experience years ago in India, which reminded me very forcibly of the importance of freedom to human beings. We all need freedom, just as we need air. In the period of which I'm speaking, I was in India, and it was the early 50s, or middle 50s. And you may have heard that about 50 years ago in India, there was a very widespread, a mass movement of conversion to Buddhism. And this movement was on the part of people living on the lowest level, socially speaking, economically speaking also. It concerned the former untouchables. You must have heard, of course, of the Indian caste system. It's a very rigid system, and to a great extent it still exists. And in this system there are high caste people and there are low caste people. And in fact there are not just low caste people, there are people whose caste is very low indeed. It's so low that they don't really even have a proper caste. And one of the consequences of that is that such people were, and in many cases still are, regarded as impure. So that any contact with them pollutes. So the caste Hindu will not have any contact with someone belonging to that untouchable or ex-untouchable community. So they, in the old days, they were excluded from the temples, excluded from the schools, and had to engage in all sorts of menial and servile work, and weren't allowed to engage in any other kind of work. They were very seriously oppressed and depressed. So this is still going on to some extent. But in 1956, an event of very considerable importance took place, not only for India, but even for some of us here in the West. Among the ex-untouchables, there was a leader. Fortunately, they had a leader. And you may have been hearing something about him in the course of the last week. And his name was Dr. Bhimrao Ambedkar. He was born as an untouchable, and he suffered all the consequences of being an untouchable. But nevertheless, he was a kind of genius, and he managed to educate himself, and he rose even to a very high position in Indian political life. And he became the leader of a very large section of the ex-untouchables in central and western India. And he saw the condition of his people, how oppressed they were, how excluded, how badly treated by the caste Hindu society. And he came to the conclusion that there was no future for them within the Hindu fold. He came to the conclusion that they had to change their religion if they wanted to improve themselves in all respects. So, 50 years ago, he announced his own conversion to Buddhism in Nagpur, and on that occasion, 400,000 of his followers took the same step with him. So that was a very important, a very momentous occasion. So here they were, no longer Hindus, not just 400,000, but many hundreds of thousands of others followed. Here they were, they just ceased to be Hindu, they were Buddhist. So what were they to do? They looked to their leader for guidance, then he died. Then he died. So they were left without guidance, without help. From a dharmic point of view. So I was there in India at that time. And with others, I decided that, well, we should do something. So a lot of my time in the early 50s, when I myself was still quite a young man in my early and middle 30s, much of my time was spent teaching the Dharma to these new Buddhists, as they were often called. And as I moved about different parts of India, different groups of these new Buddhists, giving talks, giving lectures, meeting them individually. And of course I'm reminded of that very much today, because they weren't all sitting on chairs, they were sitting on the floor, just as you are sitting now. So this also brings me back to those days.